as we think about footprints, that as long as we're trying, as long as we got some fight in us, God is going to help you. As long as you're about something, something, you can be assured of the fact that God will help you. As long as you are fighting for a cause, even if you get weak, even if you get weary, God will help you. God will be with you. And I know what I did, Brother Jeff. I didn't turn the mic on. All right, thank you.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of part two of Looking for a Reason to Fight. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of Looking for a Reason to Fight.
That I have fought the good fight. So Paul admonished Timothy in 1 Timothy to fight the good fight. And then as Paul came to the end of his life, Paul said that I have fought a good fight. And I want to speak to you this morning on the topic that we started last week. Looking for a reason to fight. Looking for a reason to fight. Share with you something that many of you have probably heard before, but I want to share it with you in a new light this morning. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to him and the other belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He noticed that it happened that at the very lowest and saddest times in his life, this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave. The Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was I that carried you." As we think about footprints, that as long as we're trying, as long as we got some fight in us, God is going to help you. As long as you're about something, something, you can be assured of the fact that God will help you. As long as you are fighting for a cause, even if you get weak, even if you get weary, God will help you. God will be with you. And I know what I did, Brother Jeff. I didn't turn the mic on. All right, thank you. All right. Thank you, brother. That wasn't Jeff. That was me. But as long as you're trying, God will help you. He will touch your life. He will strengthen you. And when you get weary, it'll be his footprints that carry you. Now, I'm going to share something that kind of dovetails on the footprints. And I hope no one will get offended this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm apologizing up front. If you want to email me or write me, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But I'm going to share this. It's just on my heart because I feel that this is going to prove the point that I'm trying to make. So once again, if you want to contact me to say that that was inappropriate, then I'll receive it. But I'm going to go do it anyways. One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there were seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, "What have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat,
but Lord, they are too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed and would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired and fed up, and then I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and one must stand, or leave their butt prints in the sand. Now, hopefully that won't offend anybody. However, if it did, I'm sorry. But I think the point is well taken. That when you're fighting, God will pick you up. God will carry you. But when you stop fighting, when you let go, when you sit down, God just lets you. Oh, he might bring conviction on your life. He might try to do some things around you to stir you. But when you give up, God changes his attitude as to how he deals with you. But my brothers and sisters, as long as you have some fight in you, man, God is right there with you every step of the way. You see, as we talked about last week, God wants his people to find a reason to fight. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29, David said, when he saw Goliath out there taunting the armies of God, and he saw Goliath intimidating God's people and taking God's name in vain, David said, is there not a cause? Is there not something to fight for? And David took his five stones and slingshot and sunk it right into the head of Goliath. And as I said before, Goliath had a lot of thoughts. But he said, never has anything entered into my mind like this before. And before he said that, he laid down and died. Somebody said, well, if David had so much faith, how come he took five stones? He only needed one. Well, if you read in 1 Samuel, it said that Goliath had four brothers, and David was ready for a fight. He was ready to knock them all out. See, David had something to fight for. David had a cause to fight for. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 that whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. God has designed his people for a purpose. Psalm 139 and verse 16 in the Living Bible says, you saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. God mapped out the plan he had for your life step by step, day by day. God wants you to walk in his plan. God has a purpose for you. He told Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God said, I knew you were before you even entered the womb. And last week, we talked about you got to find a purpose to fight for. You got to find a purpose to fight for. The benefits of having a purpose we looked at last week. Benefit number one, it will decrease your aggravation. Having a cause to fight for will eliminate the frustration of doing meaningless work. Number two, it will increase your inspiration. Having a cause to fight for will bring excitement and motivation into one's life. It'll give you a reason for living. Having a cause to fight for will sharpen your concentration. Having a cause to fight for will allow the child of God to stay focused and not get distracted. And that brings us to our message for today, the second point. What is the behavior of having a cause to fight for? That those who have a cause to fight for, what is their behavior? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul says here in verse 24, know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain.
And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The first thing that we want to look at today is we consider the behavior of having a cause to fight for. You know, what is the behavior? What does somebody who has a cause to fight for, what do they look like? And I pray that these 4 points that I covered this morning will be true in each and every person's life here, that you will have some purpose in your life and that your life will have some meaning, and your life, first of all, will be characterized by self-drive. Self-drive. What do I mean by that? Well, he says in verse 24, do you not know that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. In Corinthians, they had what was known as the Isthmus Games. These were only second to the Olympics, but they were a highly treasured game in the city of Corinth. And Paul says that when these athletes come from all over Athens and Greece and they compete, only one receives a prize. What drives them? What motivates them? The fact that there is a prize. He said that, don't you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. My brothers and sisters, if you got something to fight for, you're going to motivate yourself. You're going to drive yourself. Why? Because there's a goal. There's an objective. Many people may get discouraged in the midst of getting their college education. Oh, but when you look down the road and you see that sheepskin on your wall, there's some drive that keeps you going. Paul says if there's some purpose in your life, if there's something for you to work for, something for you to drive towards, that you should be self-motivated. That, oh, once again, I realize that God helps us do whatever we need to do. I was listening to a preacher last week. He was talking about, you know, people who say, I'm self-made. You know, I'm a self-made man. Well, you know, really, there's no self-made people. If you think about it, first of all, the first breath that you ever took into this world, you came in hollering and screaming, asking somebody to clean you up and feed you. So how in the world are you self-made? It took you 2 years before you got weaned. It took you another 3 or 4 years before you could take care of yourself, as far as not having somebody to clean you up. And then it took another 11 years before you could actually begin, hopefully, to support yourself. So how in the world are you self-made? Somebody is behind you. And so even as we look at this thing called self-drive, I don't want to misconstrue this, because God is all behind this. But God, once he gives you that vision, then you got to have some gumption on your own. Yeah, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we have Jesus. But you know what? You got to find some drive on your own. You got to find some giddy up inside of you. Self-drive. Look, notice what he says here. He says that that one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. This is a powerful concept here. This word obtain comes from the Greek word katalambano. And you know what it means? Kata means down, and lambano means to take. Paul said, run that you may take down the prize. Notice, people in the earthly race, only one can win. But in God's race, everybody can win. See, God has a special goal. God has a special focus. God has a special vision for your life. And it's right out there. And all you got to do is take it down. All you got to do is go take it down. But you can't take it down if you don't have any drive. If you're lazy and shiftless and slowful, then you can't take it down. That goal, that prize is always going to be out there. But when I got some drive, oh, baby, when I can see that this thing is within reach, when I can begin to taste it, then I'm going to run and take down what God has for me.
Look back over your life. Has there been goals that God put up for you that are still there because you didn't take them down? Man, I look and I know there's blown opportunities that I've missed in the past. And I can look back and see that there was certain prizes that God had for me. But because I got distracted or I didn't have the motivation, I didn't have the drive inside of me, I never ran and took them down. But God has something for you. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I'm trying to win the race. You don't have to win the race. The race already been won. 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. The victory is already won. Let me give you some shocking news this morning. The only thing you got to do is stay in the race. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to try to win it. You don't have to try to outrun anybody. And see, that's the thing. See, we get this concept of the world's idea of the prize, that only one can win the Super Bowl, only one can win the World Series, only one can win the NBA championship, only one can win the U.S. Open, only one can win the match. We got that concept, but in God, in God's game, everybody can win. All you got to do is find out what it is that God has for you. And stand. And you know what? Look what he says here. Don't let me get ahead of myself. But he says here, verse 25. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, when these athletes in these Isthmian games, when they won. Now, you know, there was a bunch of accolades that went along with that, a bunch of prestige. But you know all they got? They got a laurel wreath that they put around their head that somebody cut up and put together in a fancy way. And when they came to the seat for their reward, all the judge did was put this laurel wreath on their head. What does Paul say? Paul said that wreath is going to decay and wither away. That wreath is going to die. He said, all these guys trained for 10 months under rigorous discipline and under a coach. And for 10 months, they eat strict, they exercise, and they watch everything for 10 months. And if they win, they get a wreath that's going to perish. They get a corruptible wreath. But Paul says, oh, we do it for something that's incorruptible. We do it for, you know, we do it for two things. Number one, for an eternal reward. But you know, secondly, the second reason why we do it because we can obtain the goal that God has for this life. Man, you know, I hear people talk all the time, man. You know, man, pastoring is the worst thing in the world. You know, pastoring, you know, man, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with that. Man, I don't want the headaches of pastoring. But you know what? I know this is what God has for me. This is my goal. This is what I got. This is what God had me to run and take down. And so I got to find some drive from somewhere to keep on keeping on. So I look at the goal, and you got to have a goal in your life. As we talked about last week, what's your goal? Even maybe you've already got your degree. Maybe you've already got that job. You know what? Don't see that's the beautiful thing about God's kingdom. God always keeps something fresh before you. That if you ever begin to monumentalize your past accomplishments, then you're in trouble. Well, you know, God let me do such and such a thing. And I remember back when I started this ministry. Oh, let me worship at the altar of the ministry that I started. Oh, I'm so great. Oh, look at this ministry. Let's capture this in a moment. See, God says, look. Come on, I'm over here now. God always keeps something fresh before you. But you've got to have some drive about yourself. You got to see the end in sight. You got to see the goal. You see, what is drive? Drive is the ability to push past the obstacles. Drive is the ability to push past slothfulness. Drive is the ability to push past all those things that hinder you from what God has for you. There's going to be many discouragements along the way, but you got to find a way to push past it. Oh, I love the poem that I've heard, and I've read it here before, but let me just share it with you again. Somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he wouldn't be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a bit of a grin on his face. If he worried, he'd hit it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that could not be done, and he did it. Oh, somebody scoffed. You'll never do that. At least no one has never done it. But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the next thing we knew, he begun it. With a lift of his chin and a pretty grin, without any doubt or to quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that could not be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. Amen to that. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle right in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that could not be done, and you'll do it. See, what's that all about right there? That's all about drive. That's all about motivation. That's all about pushing ahead. Where's your drive at? Somebody say, well, I failed. You know what failure means? Failure means I didn't succeed. But drive says, I got the opportunity to try again. Failure says, I can't do it. Drive says, I must try again. Failure says, I'm stuck on third base. Drive says, I got to find a way to get the home plate. Failure says, I fell down. Drive says, I can't stay down. Failure says, I lost. Drive says, I've got a new opportunity to win. Failure says, it's over. Drive says, hey, God got a better way. Are you a failure or are you driven? God is looking for some folk who are driven. Babe Ruth struck out more than anybody else in the history of baseball. But before Hank Aaron, he hit the most home runs. Hank Aaron struck out more than 99% of everybody who will play Major League Baseball. But he is the greatest home run hitter of all times. Thomas Edison's teacher called him a dunce and said he will never succeed in life. He failed over 14,000 times to perfect the incandescent light. And we all know what he did. The rest is history. Albert Einstein flunked courses in math, but he had one of the greatest IQs known to man. Henry Ford was broke at the age 40, but he kept persevering. He kept pressing on. You see, when you find something worth fighting for, you got to find some drive. You got to find something that, and I hate to keep saying this, but you know, you got to find you got to find a reason to get up. You got to find a reason to get moving. And you know, it got to come from within you. Man, young folk are missing opportunities right and left because they don't have drive, because they don't have something inside of them to work hard. You know what? I think I would, now once again, I know God had a plan and a purpose for my life. But you know what? If I could just see some things, you know, how dangerous would we be if we knew then what we know now? You know what? I would have been in the NFL if I knew then what I know now. I'd have worked a little bit harder. I would have ran a little bit longer. When the rest of the fellas was out partying and having a good time, I would have cut it a little bit shorter. But you know, I had lost my focus, had lost my drive. You know, I saw a good time, I saw a good life. And you know what? I think that hindered me when I got to the place where I could have taken down the goal. Oh, I know that. And I this was my testimony. I know God, it wasn't God's will for me to play professional football.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part two of Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, part two of Looking for a Reason to Fight, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request part two of Looking for a Reason to Fight, or program number 060910. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request part two of Looking for a Reason to Fight, or program number 060910. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.